Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the world's greatest disasters, Phil. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
Sounds like an awesome idea. Remember as well, though, Phil, before we jump into it, it's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rate in some of these disasters, is it?
No, no.
We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest, if, you know, it came on the news in the morning, you'd be interested, wouldn't you?
I'll be watching Hugh Williams for as long as I possibly could.
Absolutely. What are we talking about this week?
We're talking about the San Francisco earthquake of 1906.
Who's Hugh Williams?
He's a newsreader, isn't he? Oh, shit, Hugh Edwards.
Hugh Edwards.
Oh,
the quake hit San Francisco on Wednesday, April 18th, at precisely 12 minutes past 5 o'clock in the morning. But San Francisco wasn't the only place to get hit. For more than 200 miles along the San Andreas Fault, the crust of the earth slipped as much as 21 feet. In San Jose, 8,000 people were homeless. Santa Rosa, a town of 7,000, was leveled. Trees were uprooted, fences curved, and in some places the earth flowed like water. The quake had the impact of 6 million tons of TNT, roughly 12,000 times the power of the atomic bomb exploded over Hiroshima. It remains the greatest natural disaster suffered by a North American city.
What was it?
Funny enough, it was a huge earthquake that hit the US city of San Francisco.
Clue is very much in the name with this one, isn't it, I think. When did it happen?
April the 18th, 1906.
And how many people died?
About 3,000.
About 3,000.
Hard to get a definite figure when people are falling down holes and through cracks.
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it? Fucking freaky way to die that would be.
It
just
really is.
You've seen
it?
Sinkhole. You know when you go on a YouTube. Do you do this? Go on a YouTube ramble?
Oh, God, my whole life is a cyber ramble.
A sidebar ramble.
I start by interneting the Second World War, some specific battle, and before I know it, I'm looking at, you know, spiders that look like speakers, you know. I'm loving it.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because every seam is so rich. It would always seem like, so you're like, oh, there's a video there of a mouse attacking a snake, and you go, oh, I'll see what that's like. Underneath, 405 videos of mice attacking snakes. You're like, it's like a subculture I didn't even know existed. It's fucking massive. And one of them is sinkholes. Have you ever watched sinkholes?
I have, actually, yeah.
And they're terrifying.
It makes me wonder why more people don't fall down them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they just appear, don't they?
Suddenly there's just a hole in the world.
And a big one.
A huge, great hole in the world. Fantastic. I would love to see a sinkhole open up.
From a safe distance,
from
obviously.
A safe distance, yeah. From a helicopter, if possible.
But you're scared of going in helicopters.
I'm not as bad as you used to be.
I wouldn't want to go in a helicopter. I'm flying.
Well, helicopters are dangerous.
They defy the laws of physics, but they work.
Exactly. They're mad. They shouldn't work. And I'm not 100% sure they do work. I've never seen a helicopter in my own eyes.
You hear a lot of crashes in helicopters in a way you don't with planes.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, if you've got, like, if you've basically got a rotisserie blade attached to your machine, flying lawnmower... It's got to be pretty dangerous, hasn't it? So, give us a brief overview of the San Francisco earthquake, 1906.
The 1906 San Francisco earthquake struck the coast of Northern California at 5:12 a.m. on Wednesday, April the 18th, with an estimated magnitude of 7.9.
5:12 in the morning. That's not good for an earthquake.
Oh.
No one's up. You haven't had a coffee.
You're not ready for it.
You're not ready for it. Do you know what I mean? I think prime time for an earthquake, 10 o'clock, because you've had a coffee and you've still got the rest of the day.
Anyway, so after this earthquake, devastating fires soon broke out in the city and lasted for several days.
Right.
Thousands of homes were dismantled and burnt down. As a result of this, up to 3,000 people died and over 80% of the city of San Francisco was destroyed. The events are now remembered as one of the worst and deadliest earthquakes in the history of the United States, and the death toll remains the greatest loss of life from a natural disaster in California's history.
All right, so what is an earthquake? Tell me what an earthquake is. Because in Britain, we're kind of sheltered from all of this stuff. Earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes,
poisonous
typhoons,
snakes.
Poisonous snakes, spiders.
Killer snakes.
Killer snakes. makes. You don't even get that many serial killers.
Not by standards abroad.
Not by standards abroad.
You always get a lot in America, don't you? And so then you many. Occasionally get a really vicious mental one that goes off in Japan.
Yeah, or Russia.
Because they can do odd things. Yeah. Russia, yeah.
Right, that's what happens, isn't it? America will pump out about sort of like 50 serial killers a year and all be relatively bad. And then Russia will just do the worst. A Russian serial killer will come out and do stuff you didn't even know a human being was capable of.
Is it literally
the space race, isn't it?
Every Russian I see, to me, looks like a potential serial killer.
They do look scary, don't they?
They really do.
Again, because a lot of the...
Putin eats heads.
Oh, he looks terrifying, Putin, doesn't he?
Especially now, he looks like he's had work done.
He's all upper body, like in Vic and Bob cartoon, isn't he?
And I've got nothing against Putin, so I don't want my house chemically... I don't want any Rasputin or whatever that chemical was called.
Yeah, that's right. Novichok,
that's the one, Novichok.
Yeah, I don't know if he listens to the podcast, Putin, but I wouldn't have put him past him.
We came to Brighton for lovely pier. We heard world famous pier.
Pier is longest pier on South Coast. Of course we come to Brighton. Well, this is the thing, the only real sort of knowledge I have of Russians is YouTube again. Because there's loads of Russians just doing
mental things.
It's a huge seam of Russians just chucking themselves off things or like drinking burning vodka or like fucking balancing cars on top of each other.
That's why they're very good fighters.
They look amazing, Russians. I mean, they do seem mad.
They have taken some shit over the years and they just come back for more. Yeah, I think they revel in it.
I think they revel in it. Mm. Yeah, the sort of outsider status that for some reason Russia still has. Anyway, so tell me what an earthquake is.
Okay, yes, because we often hear this, you know, an earthquake has struck here and blah, blah, and you sort of think, well, Earth trembles, but what is that? How many of us know this, really?
It's kind of school, isn't it, all this? Like, you learn a bit about it in school, tectonic plates and that, but I can't remember.
I can just about remember Oxbow Lakes. Okay, right, an earthquake. Right, this is quite hard to explain, mainly because I don't know what I'm talking about. An earthquake is an intense shaking of the Earth's surface.
Right.
Okay. The shaking is caused by movements in the Earth's outermost layer.
Right. The crust.
You know more about this than you're letting on.
Oh, no, I'm just reading ahead.
Oh, okay. Right. So, although the Earth looks like a pretty solid place from the surface, it's actually extremely active just below the surface.
Yeah.
The Earth is made of four basic layers. Right. Solid crust, which we're on.
Yeah.
A hot, nearly solid mantle underneath that.
Right.
A liquid outer core.
Yeah.
And a solid inner core.
Right.
Now, we don't have to worry about too much about the really sort of outer cores and inner cores right down the bottom.
Right.
We need to worry about the top bit, the crust and the mantle.
Right.
Right. So.
So it's like toast sort of lying on hot custard.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're on the burnt bit.
We're on the burnt toast.
Below that is actual bread.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, actual bread.
Which we haven't, you know, toasted as such.
Okay.
And then below that is the custard.
Custard. Okay. Yeah. So we are living on hot custard, raw dough.
A burnt toast.
Burnt toast.
We're walking around on burnt toast.
Yeah. Sort of jigsaw of burnt toast.
Yes. Well, that's a nice way of putting it.
Thanks,
okay,
man.
Okay. So under the burnt toast, we have these. They're like giant puzzle pieces.
Right.
Okay. Always moving about.
Yeah. Okay.
They're called tectonic plates.
Okay.
Okay. Now, tectonic plates, like I say, are constantly shifting around. So they sometimes hit each other, they move over each other, they go under each other. Now, all of this movement actually causes a stress on the Earth's crust, where we are.
Right.
Because there's a stress. So when those stresses get too large, it leads to cracks and faults in our crust.
Yeah.
An earthquake is the sudden movement of the Earth's crust at a fault line.
So, yeah, so you've got what we live on.
The burnt toast.
The burnt toast. Mm. So it's probably better to think of it like a tablecloth, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
So you've got a tablecloth.
Yeah.
And underneath the tablecloth is a jigsaw of toast.
Which is sort of moving around on its own.
Which is moving underneath the tablecloth. Mm. And every now and again, you'll get two bits of toast that will really hit each other because the custard underneath is pushing them around.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that'll make the tablecloth sort of ruck
roughly
up.
Fluffly.
Ruck up.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is the San Francisco earthquake was a rucking in the tablecloth of the Earth.
Essentially.
Is this making it easier?
Well, the sad thing is you're making it easier. I'm making it really complicated and boring.
Well, the thing is, I'm not entirely sure if I'm right.
You sound right.
That's having, half the battle.
Having got this information off the NASA for Kids website.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow, thanks NASA for Kids.
I tried doing it on adult websites, but it's really complicated. I couldn't understand it.
Well, this has made me think about flat earthers, because that's another internet scene, flat earthers.
Wonderful, isn't it?
And I understand flat earthers, actually, because I think what they talk about actually comes from something we need a bit more. It's really bizarre, because it's like, it comes from something we need a bit more of, which is critical thinking. Because they've gone, well, I don't know that the Earth is round because I haven't seen it with my own eyes, which is something that we need more of generally. We need people to not believe the newspapers as much as they do, not believe like propaganda. But for some reason, they've taken off this completely mad.
They've gone down the alleyway, haven't they, of logical thinking.
Yeah, it's a real shame that they sort of made that logical that mistake, I think. But they're so, it's so fun to watch those videos.
Fantastic, isn't it?
You know what I mean? If the world was round and had a duck stand up. It's like, oh, God. I don't know how ducks stand up.
I heard someone a few months ago go, look, the globe is flat.
It's so marvellous.
So I'm not sure I've explained that very clearly.
I think you have.
But it's, you know, tectonic plates, isn't it, mate?
So the thing is, it's always happening. They're always moving. So it's not like you, it's not like everything's still and then God goes earthquake. It's they're always moving, and at some point they'll shift up against each other, lots of friction.
Yeah.
And they'll cause an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, there are actually sort of four main sort of tectonic plates, aren't there? The sort of Eurasian one. I have seen in Iceland, I have seen where the European plate and the North American plate meet.
Wow.
It's amazing.
What does it look like?
It's just a little ravine.
That's fantastic.
It's a little ravine, and one side they go, that's the North American plate. There's the European
that's
plate.
Fucking brilliant. And I'd love to see that.
It's amazing. You're just standing there going, these are the two, you're standing in the middle of the continental shelf.
Oh, wow.
Oh no, it's not continental shelf. That's a different thing altogether.
What's the continental shelf?
I don't know. I'm on really dodgy grounds.
I think that when I was at school, geography,
yes,
which this is, I guess, I'd say worst three subjects of mine. My worst three subjects, PE, not a surprise.
Obs.
Maths and probably geography.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what were your worst ones?
PE, I wasn't too bad. I just didn't have the confidence to show my skills.
Really? Yeah. Football are you talking about, or just generally?
Team sports, I didn't ever like team sports.
I don't like team sports.
I want to be individual.
Yeah.
Yeah, team sports, I wasn't a front. I mean, at least I wasn't Peter Slip, who wet himself on the long jump run-up. But
no, that's true.
Maths, I wasn't very
good. What was his name, Peter Slip?
Peter Slip.
What else could he have done for old Peter Slip?
Maths, I was terrible at.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy that. Everything else, I quite enjoy. I wasn't very good at art.
Oh, I was good at art.
Art was one of my top.
I think art was my top.
Yeah.
Art, top, English, drama.
Drama, yeah.
So I was a wanker. Do you remember them at school? Do you remember how you'd have like cool kids, like nerds, and then sort of wankers? I was one of them. What were you at school?
I sort of flitted between both.
what wankers and
cool
kids?
I got on with the nerdy kids.
Yeah.
But I also kind of got on okay with the cool kids.
Yeah.
So I was sort of a bit in between. I could just, you know, maybe the cool kids were a bit sort of, not mocking, but maybe a bit sort of, Phil's all right. He's never going to be in our gang.
Yeah, that's but he's all right. I was. Yeah, I was sort, I was somebody who wasn't, I wasn't bullied.
No, I wasn't. No.
I wasn't bullied. And the way that I thought.
I want to make that very clear.
No, I wasn't bullied. All of that was just banter. It was just good natured ribbon. And I gave as good as I got. I gave as good as I got, mate. And I don't mind. I don't mind that he's now a CEO. So that is essentially how it works. That's the geography of an earthquake.
Tablecloths, custard, toast, bread.
Yeah, and I think that is probably the greatest ever explanation of what an earthquake is. We've nailed that. We've absolutely nailed it.
You put Heinz Wolf to shame.
that's right. Who would it be? Would it be Heinz Wolf? I thought he was more. Isn't he more
putting eggs on?
Now
Heinz Wolf is very much our era. I suppose it would be Brian Cox would be.
Brian Cox
would be today's
era,
one, wouldn't it? Today's TV scientist. Therefore,
all made of stars. Oh, fuck off, Brian. It doesn't matter if we're all made of stars or not made of stars. I still haven't got a fucking pension.
Okay, so we have perfectly nailed what an earthquake is.
I think so. I'm just going to open my Coke. Hold
okay,
on.
I'll have a vape.
Nice.
Full fat coke there.
Yeah, got you. Full fat coke.
Sugar, I suppose.
Sugar rush. I've had a coffee. I'll be fine.
Yeah, so we've nailed what an earthquake is superbly.
Yeah.
Which is all well and good, but why did a huge earthquake happen specifically in San Francisco, Phil?
Three words, Phil. Ooh,
okay.
San Andreas Fault.
Max Zorin, View to a Kill.
What?
He
did.
Yeah, he wanted to blow up, put a charge in the middle of the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah.
Blow it and then flood Silicon Valley so he could be a big businessman.
Wouldn't have been a bad idea. And also, Superman? Isn't there a Superman film?
I think there
where
is.
Lex Luthor tries to get the San Andreas Fault to.
Was Lex Luthor the bloke in The French Connection?
Yeah!
Best, do know about films.
Mr. Smocker. That's what I like. It's really strange how this one thing that one person says, go, I love this man. Mr. Smocker!
Is he still alive?
Gene Hackman. Is that his name? Gene Hackman? Yeah, he's still alive, I think. Oh. He's great, Gene Hackman.
He's good, isn't he?
Fantastic. Yeah. Do you like The French Connection?
I do. I do. When I went to Chicago, I went to see the, you know,
the bridge.
The bridge.
The covered railway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That chase scene, right? William Friedkin is an insane man, right?
And that was he the director?
He's a director.
Right.
They did that chase scene on a normal day, right? So there's people driving around the city.
Oh,
and
wow.
He said to the stunt driver, he said, make it exciting, like really go for it. Make it, I want it to be something I've never seen before. And the stunt driver went, fuck yeah, right? And he did, so they did the chase, and there's real car crashes in that chase.
Oh!
Like some of the people they hit are real people that they had to compensate.
Wow.
Because William Friedkin's just fucking off his tits. He's off his tits.
That's why 70s films were better.
That is why 70s films were better, because all health and safety out of the window, everything out of the window. They just threw it all. Like that's why Stanley Kubrick was able to scratch the shit out of Malcolm McDowell's eyes.
Yeah,
Clockwork Orange. Like do all this shit. Kilby, like in William Friedkin fucked up. What's her name? The girl who played Reagan in The Exorcist. That bit where she's flipping backwards and forth. That fucked her back up, man. Like,
but you know,
but great film.
It's on celluloid forever.
Yeah, exactly.
We like it.
The San Andreas Fault is a fault that forms part of the
The Teutonic boundary. Now, there's an industrial badge.
Does that mean German Teutonic?
Yeah.
we don't know if it's German.
The German.
The San Andreas Fault. Okay. The San Andreas Fault is a fault that forms part of the tectonic boundary between the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate.
We want plates.
The fault runs the length of California. So California is a long, thin state, and it goes, I guess, from the top to the bottom.
Hmm.
Okay. San Andreas Fault is the boundary between two tectonic plates. In California, along the fault, the two plates, the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate, are like rubbing past each other the whole time, rubbing past each other, causing friction.
Mm.
Okay. The Pacific Plate is moving generally northwest.
Hang on. West is always... Yes, west is the good side of London. Yep, got it.
That's right. Mm. Heading towards Alaska and Japan.
Yep.
While the North American plate is heading southwest. Cornwall, that's right. So imagine two huge pieces of toast under a tablecloth, one heading to Cornwall and the other one...
Heading to
West London. In an ideal world... this movement would happen easily and smoothly, you know, like a beautifully created
geology ballet.
Or like a cabinet, a wonderfully sanded cabinet.
Oh, what, being sanded? Smoothly?
No, you know, you see all those beautiful cabinets. You open it and it all fits beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
No friction.
Yes.
And all the rest of that.
Yes.
This is more like an IKEA cabinet you've put together yourself, right? There's an awful lot of friction there and quite a lot of screws missing. Okay, so in an ideal world, it would happen smoothly, but because it causes such a large area, not all of the faults move at the same time.
Okay.
In the middle, things are moving quite smoothly, with part of the Pacific Plate gliding by the North American Plate with relative ease.
Mm.
Lovely. Yeah. And very slow, I guess.
Very slow.
I mean, what are we talking, like a centimetre a year or something?
It'd be hard to see.
It would be very hard to see. Okay, like a plant growing. Or certainly a plant growing in my flat. It's at the northern and southern extremes where things get tricky as the plates get stuck or wedged together. And San Francisco, poor old Frisco, is sat right at the northern end of that fault.
Well, that's all well and good, Phil. But that rather does beg the question, if San Francisco lies right on the San Andreas Fault, then why did they build the city there?
Okay, it is a sensible question. Right. But the San Andreas Fault was only discovered in 1895. Which is a bit annoying. A little bit like going down to your cellar and finding a bit of dry rot. And you go, oh, not dry rot. Tell you what it's like. It's like going into your cellar, finding a door, and underneath there's a network of Turkish caves. That's what it's like. So, fair enough. Tell me about this earthquake in more detail, Phil. I need more detail now, immediately.
Okay, as we said, the earthquake struck at 5.12 a.m. I mean, Starbucks aren't even open at that time. On the 18th of April, 1906, a strong foreshock preceded the main shock by about 20 to 25 seconds. Then the strong shaking of the main shock lasted about 42 seconds.
So short, so short.
Really short. That just shows how incredibly destructive they are. They don't need very long. It's all well and good to say, oh, you know, an earthquake struck, but okay, here's a few things that happen when an earthquake does hit. We didn't always think about that.
Right.
Buildings sway.
Yep.
Trees are uprooted.
Oh.
Buildings can crumble and collapse. Bricks come crashing down.
Yeah.
Walls cave in. Chimneys topple over. Streets are ripped open with hundreds of great cracks. Huge deep holes appear in the ground.
Yeah.
42 seconds.
Yeah, that's
all of that happens.
Done.
And horrible.
Like, 5 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's in bed, so everyone's getting buried.
Yeah, everyone's in, aren't they? It's not like they're not out of town or, you know, it was a bank holiday, so fortunately everyone was out of town. That wasn't the case.
Right.
They were snoozy with their big Wee Willy Winky hats on,
exactly,
which everyone wore in those days.
In 1906 houses as well, so like they're not earthquake proof.
No,
or anything like
largely
that.
Timber framed as well.
I suppose that's better than them all being brick. They're largely, if it's timber, I suppose that's not quite so bad.
Well, you wait till we get on a few more paragraphs.
Oh, well, okay, fair enough.
So, many people were killed instantly, crushed to death by the collapsing masonry and falling debris. People disappeared into these deep holes that were just opened by the earthquake. And those who survived were either injured or killed by showers of bricks and falling glass.
I mean,
it's pretty disgusting.
And 42 seconds as well, so quick. So quick.
Yeah, I mean, you almost wouldn't know what hit you before it had happened.
Well, that's good.
At the immediate time, 375 deaths were reported.
Yeah.
However, there were hundreds of fatalities in the Chinatown district. They went ignored and unrecorded. Now, most of the deaths occurred in San Francisco itself, but others were reported in nearby cities such as Santa Rosa and San Jose, which also suffered massive, massive damage. Today, we think that about 3,000 people died as a result of the earthquake.
It's a big number.
Big number. So what we're left with there is a city that, after 42 seconds, is in utter devastation.
Buggered.
Gas mains ruptured, electrical wires broken, no telephones, telegraph services cut off, water lines completely down. And unfortunately, all of that sort of led to and also hindered the next part of the disaster.
Right.
You see,
well, because they couldn't get to it or something like
Well, yeah, kind of. But if you think that electricity cables are down and gas mains were ruptured, they're both potentially sparky, inflammable things.
And all the if all the buildings are wood, you've basically just created a load of kindling, haven't you? You've broken it all up, laid it nicely flat on the ground, and then you've...
You've nailed it, Phil.
Set fire to it.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Exactly, because as damaging as the earthquake and the aftershocks were, it was the fires that burned out of control shortly afterwards that actually proved to be more destructive.
Oh, shit. Okay,
So a lot of these fires were called by leaking gas.
Yeah.
And, of course, and then it builds into the fact that because you've got no water mains...
Yeah. Oh, you can't put it out.
You can't put the fires out.
Gutted.
So they reckon that about 90% of the total destruction of the San Francisco earthquake was actually the result of the fires.
So this should really be called the San Francisco, the Great Fire of San Francisco 1906, which was started by an earthquake.
They reckon the fires lasted about 4 days, about 30 different fires all over the place.
Christ.
They reckon about 25,000 buildings were destroyed.
Jesus.
Yeah. And there's the ones that still survived after the initial earthquake.
Yeah.
Really fucked. Caused massive, massive problems. Although, an interesting thing about this, actually, is that due to the widespread practice by insurers to indemnify properties against fire but not earthquake, most people claimed against fire.
Right.
But there were stories of people burning down their houses
Human beings are great. Aren't
yeah,
so they can get the
insurance on it. And similar vein, actually, if we're talking about human beings being great. In the immediate aftermath of the earthquake, 500 looters were shot by the police and the military.
Shot?
Yeah, they was kill on sight. People started looting. They gave an order to kill on sight.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, that's evil, you know. That's people. This word tragedy happens, people go looting. Although, some of the looters actually turned out to be the soldiers themselves.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Would you go looting? You don't seem like somebody who'd go looting.
I'm not a looter. I'm a shoot-on-sight man.
Definitely a shoot-on-sight man. Yeah. I think I'm a... you know, in like a sci-fi film, there's a person who appeals for calm and gets immediately vaporised.
You'd be one of those.
I'm like, no, everybody, remember, we're human beings. We're human beings! And then just get shot in the head. That's who I am.
Do you remember that Croydon looting of about 7 or 8 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was more widespread than that, right? You're talking about the London riots.
Was it London riots? I just remember Croydon being... Like,
Croydon got... Yeah, Croydon, yeah. Yeah. And they didn't... were you going to say the Waterstones thing?
I would have shot them on sight. At the very least, I would have water cannoned them. The very least.
So the Waterstones thing is everywhere was looted apart from Waterstones. Yeah. Right? And I was thinking it'd be wicked if you were one of the people working in Waterstones, just with a cup of tea, reading the new John Grisham, going, you know what, lads? We're going to be all right.
Okay. The fire following the earthquake cost the city an estimated $350 million at the time. That's a lot of money.
So that's got to be in the billions now, is it?
$8.97 billion, that would be in today's money.
Oh, okay.
I think we've already said the earthquake levelled about 80% of the city.
Yeah.
About 250,000 people were left homeless after the earthquake.
Yeah.
Now, when you consider that the population of San Francisco at the time was 410,000 people...
Oh, so it's everyone.
Over 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty... bad seems a little bit not strong enough, but no, it's not good.
Really bad.
Really bad, that, yeah. Oh, bless. property losses from the disaster have been estimated to be about more than $400 million in 1906 dollars, and that is the equivalent of $10.9 billion today.
I mean, it's what you'd expect, right? It just flattened the city.
Mm.
Flattened it.
I mentioned this to my current life partner, Julie Oliver's father, last night.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking about this, and he was with insurance all his life.
Mm.
And he said, in the form of WhatsApp, at Braintree, Leighton Orient, 5-1 up. Okay, that was the start of the WhatsApp.
Oh, okay,
that's
yeah.
not relevant to...
That's not relevant to this, yeah.
Lloyd's of London made its reputation with the 1906 earthquake. Instead of arguing whether damage was caused by fire or explosion, underwriters just said, pay all claims irrespective. And their worldwide reputation was made forever on that.
Wow.
Just a little fact.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
So the aftermath of the 1906 earthquake... political and business leaders strongly downplayed the effects of the earthquake, fearing loss of outside investment in the city, which badly needed to be rebuilt. I think this is podcast number 7 now, I think.
I think it's about right, yeah.
And I am noticing, are you noticing, like, different themes emerging?
Mm.
And one of them is... cover-ups.
Cover-up, yeah. It's appearing in every... We had it arguably, maybe not arguably, almost definitely, in the Great Smog.
Definitely in the Smog,
we had
yeah.
a little bit in the Isle-of-Wana and...
definitely in Isle-of-Wana.
And Rorke's
yeah.
Drift.
A little bit in the Hindenburg,
little,
maybe.
Yes, in Pompeii, not so much a government cover-up, but there was that bloke who dug stuff up, thought it was pornographic, and
then
covered it back.
Literally covered it up.
Literally covered it
literally
up again.
Covered it up. I suppose nobody could have covered up El Dorado.
You can't. All 156 episodes are on YouTube.
You can't.
Cover that up
for everyone to see.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Like the downplaying. No one wants to say, guys, this was really fucking terrible. Let's deal with it.
Yeah.
It's all downplayed.
Mm.
That's human beings. And it's all money as well. Because just fearing loss of investment
yeah.
in the city. The California governor, George Pardy. Who's here to party? Very difficult for George Pardy to get anything done.
Some days he just didn't want to go out. That's the sad thing about it. The tragedy of George Pardy is some days he didn't want to.
Exactly. Oh, God. Literally every day is a party. And if you aren't here to party... Okay. California Governor George Pardy emphasised the need to rebuild quickly. He said, Phil...
This is not the first time that San Francisco has been destroyed by fire. I have not the slightest doubt that the city of the Golden Gate will be speedily rebuilt and will almost, before we know it, resume her former activity.
The earthquake itself is not even mentioned in the statement.
No.
cover it over, mate. Also, fatality and monetary damage estimates were manipulated. Mm. They just do what the fuck they like, and they still do. Yeah. Everyone does just what the fuck they like.
Yeah.
Almost immediately after the earthquake, and even during the earthquake, planning and reconstruction plans were hatched to quickly rebuild the city.
They must mean like during the fallout. They can't mean during the 42 seconds, because that is quick response.
That would be bad, wouldn't it? If somebody's going, quick, there's an earthquake. Draw a picture of a bus. Draw a picture of a building.
New crossroads.
Get it signed off.
Where's it gone?
That's right.
Down that hole.
Rebuilding funds were immediately tied up by the fact that virtually all the major banks had been on the site of the earthquake.
I love that.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Let's go to the bank and sort. Oh,
yeah. No, we could go. We go to the bank. No, no, we can't do that. Or we could drive down. No. Okay, so it was a lengthy wait of 7 to 10 days before their fireproof vaults could cool sufficiently to be safely opened.
That's amazing.
Fucking hell, it's a different time, isn't it? Because money, back in those days, was a physical thing.
It's all it was, wasn't it? It wasn't numbers in computers.
And now it is literally just, mate, just whack another zero on, innit? Oh, shit, there's a country in it. This country's fucked. Whack a zero on, mate, it'd be all right. I'll get us through till payday. But then you actually had to have, they had to be based on something, right?
Yeah.
So the disaster also diverted trade, industry, and population growth south to Los Angeles. You been to Los Angeles?
I haven't.
Absolute shithole.
I've heard that.
Which during the 20th century became the largest and most important urban area in the West. Los Angeles is also on a fault, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think it's a shame. San Francisco is so beautiful. And Los Angeles is so not beautiful. Los Angeles is horrid. That really, you'd want, I mean, if you had to... If one's going to get it, you know, go for that.
Could this happen now in San Francisco?
Could it?
Yes!
Oh, no!
Yeah. The San Andreas Fault has averaged 150 years between major quakes.
Right.
And we are now 112 years from 1906.
Shit.
And to make it worse, the San Andreas Fault is not the only geological fault in that area.
Right.
There's another very nasty one called the Hayward Fault.
Right.
Runs very close to it.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I mean, there was a pretty big earthquake in the area in 1989. I think probably some of us might remember that. That killed 63 people.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there was the famous picture of the flyover that collapsed.
Oh, maybe you remember that. Okay.
There was another one in 2014 that killed one person. Mm-hmm. Why does that make the news? But no, that's very sad. But earthquake experts have all stated that neither of those two were the big one.
Yeah.
The big one.
I wonder if it's going to happen in our lifetime. I suppose
Today it's possible. Well, I'll tell you why. Because today, this is really worrying, more than 7 million people live in the San Francisco Bay region.
It's a massive city.
Yeah. That's 6.5 million more than lived there in 1906.
Yeah.
And scientists reckon that there is a 72% probability of a 6.7 magnitude minimum earthquake hitting that area in the next 25 years. But still, they continue to build.
But they're building them clever, aren't they? Aren't they sort
of? Are we cleverer than nature?
No, but in Japan, they build clever buildings.
They
that
do
sort of sway and
smart.
Bend. Smart buildings.
That's what you'd
and
put
stuff.
Before everything. Nowadays,
and when I was in San Francisco, our hotel had building work.
Right,
going on.
Was it hit by an earthquake?
Well, no, it was. They were earthquake proofing the hotel. That was what they were doing.
They're actually doing a retrospective earthquake proofing of loads of buildings over there, aren't they?
Yeah, so it must have been a 70s building, I suppose, maybe 80s building.
And well, they should have known better.
Yeah, exactly. They're retrofitting it.
Oh.
I don't know what they do. What do they put tyres under it or something?
I don't know.
I don't know what they were doing, but that's what they said they were doing.
Wow.
So maybe it'd be great if they could, it'd be great if San Francisco, if like a massive earthquake hit San Francisco and it all just.
It just wobbles like a jelly.
Like in the soft mint advert. Just everything just wobbles. And they are going, yep, fucking told you. It's absolutely fine.
It would be lovely, wouldn't it?
It
if
would
a
be
massive
great.
One hit and then everything was just like,
yep, done it.
Survived it.
It's not going to happen, though, is it?
No. US Geological Survey scientists say that a 7 magnitude earthquake on the Hayward Fault, like I said, the other big fault around there, is likely to kill at least 800 people in the area, leave about 150,000 people homeless, and cause damage of more than 1.5 trillion.
Frick.
They also reckon at least 400 fires will ignite, possibly engulfing 50,000 homes.
And fires in California is bad news. isn't it? Because yes. wildfires and like all the rest, they burn for fucking weeks.
Wow, it's incredibly dry and hot there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays, Phil, as you mentioned, we have much more knowledge of earthquakes than we did in 1906. For a start, we know what a Richter scale is.
Good point. We don't know what a Richter scale
is. No, we're floundering there. We're like the underneath bit of the swan in the water. But yes, as we mentioned, they're retrofitting buildings accordingly. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we couldn't be looking at massive devastation again.
Yeah.
As I've always said, Phil, I think it was the first thing I said when I met you.
Yeah.
When it comes to earthquakes, we are entirely at the mercy of nature.
Yes, that is the first thing you said, wasn't it? Which I thought was a weird opening in Nando's.
Then I said, I'm Phil.
You did say that. I remember that.
And then you said, the sea is a cruel mistress.
I did.
I'm also Phil.
Yeah, that's right.
She needs to be respected.
Yes, the sea is a cruel mistress. So.
Oh, and an aside.
Yeah.
Los Angeles is right at the southern end of the San Andreas Fault.
So they're both fucked,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Maybe it won't happen again.
Yeah, it might. It might not. Is there a sneaky part of you, knowing the devastation that would be caused, the sort of hopes that you get to see it in your lifetime?
Well, yes. And it's the same we were doing about doing Pompeii, because Vesuvius is going to erupt again at some point, isn't it? I want to see that.
Mm.
You know, there's going to be another, at some point, a massive meteor is going to hit the Earth, isn't
it?
That's just a statistical probability. It's not like it's not going to happen. Mm. At some point, it will. So, yeah, there are parts of you that go, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's not because you want to see people suffer or you want massive death.
I think it's just you want to experience something that's...
You just want a little bit of excitement in your life, don't you,
Phil? Exactly, because think of the things that have happened, like the massive global things that have happened since we've been alive. Not that many.
Not that many in our lifetime.
So that was the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco. Clam chowder, wobbly roads, trams, seals.
Do you know
Golden Gate Bridge? All fucked.
Francisco.
Was it our fault or God's fault, Phil Lucas?
That was God's fault.
I mean, it's God's fault.
God's fault.
Well, specifically, tectonic plates' fault. But we don't.
God moves them.
God moves the
tectonic
plates.
God moves them with his wrinkly hands.
Yeah, wrinkly old man hands.
He didn't like the way it was going, San Francisco. He thought, this is getting too liberal and open.
What does he think now?
Yeah. That's why it's going to come again in our lifetime.
Oh, do you think? You think he's punishing? Another punishment. I wonder if I bet people said it was punishment. They always do.
Oh, yeah. There will be people who generally think that.
Punishment for anything that happens whatsoever.
Mm. It's a great way of ending stuff. You can just go, this happened. Why did this happen? Wow, it's God, wasn't it?
God,
he was angry.
God was angry or bored.
And then you'd have to think about the science of it.
No one says it's because God was bored, do they? He's got two emotions, isn't he? He's either happy or sad.
Yeah. You never get, you know, sometimes kids, when they're bored, can do horrible things. You know,
idle hands make the devil's hairdryer or whatever that saying is.
So if God's kicking around, say, for example, like we said, you know, the golden period, the mid-90s, he's like, getting on all right in the world, not too much happening.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Yeah, bored.
Mudslide.
Oh, wicked. So, thanks. That was episode 7 of the CB Wallop podcast. You enjoy it, Phil?
Yes, very interesting.
I'm sorry I was so tired all the way through it.
Didn't come across as tired.
Really? Well, it came across in my own brains.
Effervescent, dear boy.
Oh, really? That's very nice of you.
Effervescent.
I like this new sexy voice I've got as well. Tiredness is really... It's a real nice radio voice.
Yeah. Northern Roger Moore.
Thank you very much. So, if you've enjoyed the CB Wallop podcast this week, please tweet us. Anyone tweeted us?
A lovely chap said he enjoyed the Rorke's Drift podcast. Very nice of him.
Yeah. I like the Rorke's Drift podcast.
I do. I listened to it this morning.
Did you? It's a good one, I
just
think.
To check.
I was surprised, actually, because I thought that maybe that one might be a little bit esoteric. But actually, it was lovely. Thank you so much for getting in touch. More people can get in touch with us by contacting Phil. He's rebooting.
They can contact us on Twitter at CB Wallop. You can contact us on Facebook if you still use that. Crash Bang Wallop on Facebook. You should be able to find us. If you like the podcast, you could give us a review on iTunes. To be honest, we don't mind if you don't.
No.
It just generally helps the podcast for some bizarre technical reasons we don't understand.
Yeah, just for some reason it bumps us up the algorithm.
Yeah, so if you do, that'd be really helpful. So thank you.
That'd be great. Do you want to plug anybody else's podcast? Maybe they'll plug us back.
No, I'm going to go to the toilet and then pick some grouting off the recording studio's wash basin.
And on that euphemism, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.